And welcome to April 2026's live Q&A. So great to have you guys live on the call. I'll be going through some pre-submitted questions first, then I'll work through any questions that you guys have. So just drop them in the chat as we go. But I do want to start off with a couple of news bits that you might have seen, you might not have seen. So we'll go for that first, just to make sure you have heard it and you know some of it's what I want to talk about. So the first thing was the Come As You Are song tutorial, which I released end of last week. So if you haven't seen that yet, go into the Academy, head over to the song section, and you'll see it right at the top there. Now, this has been in the Academy for a little while, Come As You Are, but it was quite an old tutorial, so it just needed a bit of updating. I'm just gradually going through and updating all the old tutorials, make them hopefully a bit better. I think Come As You Are is about 6 years old, so hopefully my teaching's improved since then. My equipment definitely has. It's more streamlined, and I've used a couple of other little bits and pieces you'll see as you go through it. I've also added a playthrough. So if you haven't seen these, all the new songs now have these, where you play through the song, it has scrolling tab, it has scrolling... scrolling music, so you can see exactly what you should be playing and when you should be playing it. It's got the demo track playing in the background, which obviously all syncs up, so you know exactly how it should sound. You can then click down here to slow it down, speed it up, which you probably wouldn't really want to do. But it's a great way of putting the song together and making sure you know the structure, you can play for it. So that's been added to, say, a lot of the newer songs, and that is the same as Come As You Are. The other thing I want to talk about was what's coming along in May. So just give you a bit of heads up with that. I'll be announcing this on the Academy show. I will be going through this, dropping out an email just to tell everyone. And I did put this in the weekly email a couple of weeks ago, which was Movie May. We did this, I think it was last year, if not the year before, where the idea is just to get everyone a bit more comfortable recording themselves. Because often I'll hear from students, it's awkward recording yourself for a level assessment or progress check, because it is, you know, you put on the camera and suddenly you've forgotten all the things you've been practicing, fingers feel like jelly, you know, pressure of that little red light flashing at you. So a great way to obviously get over that and start getting used to recording yourself is to record yourself more. And I definitely recommend, sorry guys, drop my pick, quickly grab another one. I definitely recommend just having your phone recording yourself, if that's what you use to record yourself, or webcam, whatever you are using, whenever you can, just have it on as much as possible. So it just becomes another piece of, you know, your environment. It's not something that, oh, I'm putting on this once in a blue moon when it's time to submit something. It's something that you're doing regularly. It's a great thing to do as well, record yourself to see your progress. So you can look back at a video perhaps you've done a few months ago when you're feeling a bit down, feeling I'm not getting anywhere. You watch that video a few months ago, you think, oh, that chord's a lot cleaner now. Oh, that song that I'm struggling with there, I can now play. It's a great way of having these little time capsules so you can look back on and really help with motivation. So that's a great way of doing it for that reason and just to get used to it. Anyway, so Movie May, the idea of that is we have a section in the community where you can upload videos, so a performance section. I'm going to encourage you to do that throughout May. And everyone that then submits a video will put into prize draw to win a $50 gift voucher for guitarshirts.shop, which is where I've got some beginner guitar Academy merch, so like t-shirts, hats, hoodies, mugs, stickers, and other guitar-related sort of t-shirts as well. So that will be the prize to try and curse you into uploading some videos. So it's a great thing to do if you haven't done that already. Doesn't have to be anything complicated. Could just be a little riff you're working on. Could just be a song you've started strumming through. Or you could think, right, well, I've got a few weeks. Let's maybe give myself a bit of a challenge and maybe that song that I've wanted to learn or that song which I've been learning, but I need that little push. Let's give myself that sort of 3 weeks, 4 weeks to then get that done, uploaded. So it could be quite nice to do that as well. So again, I'll leave that up to however you want to approach that. If you do just want to play a song you already know, just to get over that, I've recorded something, uploaded it, kind of hurdle, or you give yourself a bit more challenge and do something a bit more, keep nearly fall off my footrest, a little bit more in depth. But yes, that's what we're going to do in May. And I'll be doing some movie-related stuff throughout May as well. So yeah, keep an eye on that. When I say movie-related, I mean, give me some ideas how you could record yourself, give me some ideas of the tech side of things. The first podcast will be released is just going to be films that I did. Gosh, it was a while ago that podcast came out. But just some good guitar documentaries just kind of inspire you and kind of give you some stuff to watch as well. But yeah, keep an eye out for that, guys. So I think that's all the news bits I wanted to go through. So let's dive into the first question that I had submitted. And this was from Brian Lunt. So let me quickly get here so I can see what it is. So his question was, how do guitar players and musicians decide on the timing of a song they are writing? I've put together a few songs, but I'm not exactly sure what the count would be. I just listen and play what sounds good. Does this come from experience of counting while playing, or is there a method to making that decision? So great question, especially if you've started writing music, you've done bits and pieces like that, and you kind of get a bit more maybe serious into that. So honestly, most musicians are writing songs would do it just on feel, especially if you're writing in a band. You'd have the drummer, you'd have the bass player there. They'd probably put down a beat, and then you maybe would just start jamming along to that beat. We might have a chord progression. You think, oh, guys, I like this chord progression. And then the drum would start a fill, start coming up a groove, bass player would start playing around, and that would be kind of how you start jamming it out. You wouldn't perhaps go in there and say, right, I've got this song, 1, 2, 3, and 4, 1, 2, 3, and 4, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And now I'm saying this, I'm thinking, I'm not sure if Brian was talking about kind of the rhythm, like the grouping of the sounds, like am I doing quarter notes, whole notes, half notes, or the time signature. So am I going 1, 2, 3, 4? Oh, that's in 4-4. Rather than 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. That's now in 3-4. So either way, again, you'd probably be doing it more on feel than thinking about it. Now, the benefit of knowing obviously what you're doing is you can write it out, you can understand what you're doing, you then can have more control over it, I suppose, later, if you actually understand what you're doing. So that's the benefit of knowing the counting, be it what time signature in or the strum pattern you're doing, that kind of thing, especially tempo as well. And a great way, I suppose, of working that out is tapping your foot. So tapping your foot along to it, playing what you're doing, three, just trying to count. Oh yeah, I'm in 3, 4, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. So that'd work out the timing. Once you've got the speed, once you've got those four beats, then you can start thinking about how you divide that down, what strum pattern is, am I doing eighth notes, 16th notes? But you've got to know where that pulse is. You've got to know those that count is to really get going. So yeah, working by feel, is nothing wrong with that until you want to start writing it down. Until maybe you're going to start programming other instrumentation. So if you're actually going to create a song, maybe you've got a computer, you've downloaded an audio workstation, you know, you've got software, and then you're starting to layer. So you're starting to record. So there's my guitar part, there's my drums. Then we do need to have a little bit more understanding of the theory to obviously put the instruments together, to maybe write a bass part, to maybe think about what harmony you're doing, what the timing is, and what could kind of obviously support that. So that'd be kind of, I suppose, the benefit of doing it from that point of view. So hopefully that answers your question, Brian. Yep, no problem with doing it in feel. It is good to have some understanding, and it is something that develop. For give a great example, what I just played then, I didn't have that written for this, so I just made that up, and then I counted it straight off. So I wasn't thinking what I was doing then. I just know from experience. I said 1, 2, 3, and 4. 1, 2, 3, and 4. That is just experience. That will come. So yeah, that will develop. Okay, the next question was from Nicholas, and his question was, I've recently been looking into incorporating a systematic skill rotation into my practice routine. I've realized how important it is to let the brain digest new information in the background and to revisit skills regularly. I also noticed that when I strictly follow the classes, I tend to get stuck on difficult topics like good riddance intro. Moreover, I feel that if I only stick to a linear progression of the BJ classes, I don't revisit certain foundational skills as often as I should. I'm very interested in the practice plan templates. I'm wondering how to effectively merge it with my linear flow of classes. What would you recommend? So for those that don't know about the practice plans, let me quickly show you those because I think I've got them open. Now, these practice plans are in the resources section, where if you go to the dashboard, you'll see if I scroll down there. So you click on resources. Here's all the bits and pieces that don't really fit anywhere else, or they might be in random class and stuff, and I've just put them here so it's easy to find. But very top, we have the practice plans. And the practice plans, I used to put this on the board every week for classes so I know exactly what we're going to go through in the classes. I'm a bit more flexible now, I suppose. So we don't do so much. I still work to the skills process with the majority of the classes. For instance, I have some quite high-level groups, which are grade 8, and we're mainly working on exam songs for them because they basically finished a G4 course. So obviously this isn't so much relevant to them. And if I scroll down, you'll see we have our 5-10-10-5 split, so 30-minute practice routine. The first 5 minutes is picking, warm-up. That could be a technical skill. That could be working on a technique like hammer-on, pull-off, slides. I do that quite often, which is quite fun. Or just more of a technical, maybe a synchronization drill, something like that. Then we have 10 minutes working on one skill, 10 minutes working on a second skill, and 5 minutes song at the end. Every week has a skill focus like scales and readings. So you can see in that second column of 10 minutes is just rotating those two skills. In the first column of 10 minutes, it rotates the others. So you, if you followed this, you practiced every day, you did as written, you'd end the week of practicing every one of your 7 essential skills. You focused on 2. You've always got a song at the end and you've always got the picking to begin with. So very, very structured. So that is what Nicholas is talking about with these templates. That works really well. Then he's talking about, obviously, the classes. Now, when obviously working through the classes, let me just go to a random level. Now, if you said Green Day, we must be in level 3. So the classes are structured in that format. So you'll see we have picking, we have a couple of skills. And funny enough, I just clicked on the class that has good rinse, which was a lucky pick. So I've arranged the classes in that skill. So you are working through the skills in that 5-10-10-5 split. The class are loosely 5-10-10-5. Not always. Some are slightly longer, some are slightly shorter, just depending on the skill and how much, you know, I put into that class. They all follow that. The problem we have is if you're working through class 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's when you start hitting these kind of roadblocks. You might get stuck on a good rinse for a mile. You might be going through triplets. What I recommend is working on a few classes at a time. So you might work on 3 or 4 classes. If I look at class 1, you'll see the skills are chords, arpeggios. If I click on class 4, you see the skills are now notes and rhythm. The skills are different. So we need to have a few classes on the go to be able to rotate those skills. If you're just working through a couple of classes, you're probably going to have like 2 or 3 skills. If you work through 3 or 4 classes, you should have the majority of the skills. So then you can rotate them. You're not going to get frustrated too much. You're not going to get too bored because obviously there's that variation. You can even do that obviously with the songs as well. And then I'd go a step further. And when you're practicing, for instance, if we're using our practice plan, if we're going through arpeggios or perhaps scales or something like that, if I go back to the resources section, just to again really show you where this is, where are we? You click on the resources. We then have skill sets. Skill sets are PDFs where I've put together all the skills from all the levels. So if you're a level 3 student and you want to recap some of the older chords, you think, well, I've done obviously my level 3 chords, but I don't want to forget some of the earlier ones. You can then scroll through this. Okay, I remember all these chords. Maybe go through some exercises, make sure we're happy then. Can't remember my level 2 chords. Oh, I'm a bit rusty on the older 7s. Let's go through those. They're all here for you. So you can quite quickly go back, recap them. And that's a great way of doing that, making sure you're not going rusty. Because one thing we've got to be careful of here is with the skill rotation is you don't go rusty on obviously the older things. Reading is a prime example where if you don't go for your reading consistently, you are going to forget it. It's one of those skills you don't have to go through for like the whole practice session. If you just spend 5 minutes, that's enough to keep it ticking over. But you need to be doing that maybe 2, 3, 4 times a week. Just those 5 minutes though will be enough. Just keep it ticking over. But as soon as you leave it for 2, 3 weeks, it's like you've never done it. It goes rusty really quickly. So we've got to make sure, you know, some of these skills are rotated frequently and we are going through them. So that's definitely how we want to be doing it. So yeah, definitely rotate skills. Definitely go through. Oh, let me scroll down so I can just double check his question. So I'll make sure I'm covering what he said. Going through the BJ classes. Not so linear fashion, jump around a little bit is fine. And going back to the older classes or even older levels and going for that, apologize if you can hear my dogs. I think my wife has just arrived picking up my daughter from dance. So they should quiet down as soon as they've come in. I haven't heard them come in yet. So they might be going off a little bit longer. So I do apologize. But yeah, that works really well. And that is something you can do for any level. Obviously, this is Nicholas is around level 3. You could do this in from the start, level 1. soon as you've got enough skills going, obviously, if you're starting with the first few classes and you're very much just picking up a guitar first time, maybe just a few weeks, months into it, you'll probably want to go through it in a very linear fashion and you want to build up slowly. That's obviously fine. You could jump around a little bit of the website. You know, you could try some of the riffs from the riff section. You try some of the songs. They're arranged in levels. So that'd be a good thing to add a bit of interest. But that's the only time I'd probably say to go through it in a very linear fashion is when you're very early in the course. But when you do start getting a bit further into it, yeah, jump around, mix up the skills, rotate those skills. You'll get a lot more from it. And like Nicholas pointed there, this idea that I went through in one of the podcast episodes recently, where you take a break from some of the skills. Where was it? It was number 281, if you've not heard that one. It's why taking a break can actually make you a better guitar player. And Rob Tyler submitted that. And just asked a question in the community, so I put that into a podcast episode. So it was a great question. And there is science to back that. When you do something, you're learning a skill, take a break from it. The brain is still processing that information in the background. So that's why you come back to something, you feel, oh, it feels easier now. Sometimes your brain just kind of strains that out. Sometimes it's just getting rid of some of that cognitive distance where you're going through it so much. So you need that kind of break. So that's another idea from rotating the skills. If you're doing your chords on a Monday, you do something different on Tuesday, perhaps come back to your chords on a Wednesday or Thursday, you're still going to be developing. So sometimes it's good to have that break. So yeah, hope that answers the question there, Nicholas. Mix up a little bit. Yep, you do that with songs as well. Will help kind of get into that, especially with something like Time in Life, which is quite quick, that you might want to come away from it, come back to it, rotate some other songs, just again, get that variation in there. Right, next question is from David Bentham, and his question was about improvisation. Now, last month we did Improvisation Month, and actually David was inspiration for that, because he asked a question in a Q&A, because he just wanted a bit more of a blueprint of how to practice improvisation. And this is a great question built on top of that now, actually. So he has said, Improvisation Month was great. Thanks for that. Following on from it, do you have a recommendation as to how you would split your practice time between one, learning solos from songs, two, improvisation, and three, learning the rhythm sections of songs? I ask the questions, I know from past experience that trying to learn solos note by note can take a very long time. I know there's benefit from that, e.g. adapting these phrases when improvising and developing technical skills, but how do you balance that with learning the rhythm section of songs and also finding time to practice improvisation? Where should you focus, in your opinion? So again, another great question. It's probably a question that a lot of people have been having or starting to think about if they went through Improvisation Month, you know, how do you now bring that into your practice routine? Because that is a whole nother, obviously, world, basically. And there are different sub-skills in that world, if that makes sense. So how do we obviously practice that? So again, I'd think of it kind of like rotation. So for instance, you might want to spend maybe 50% time in rhythm, 25% improvisation, 25% learning songs or learning licks from songs. That's kind of how you want to break it up. And then that can then be rotated with the other skills. It's kind of the way to do it. Now, David's quite a high level. He's level 5. So he's probably getting to that point where he's starting to specialize. He's starting getting a feel of like, I want to be a lead guitar player, maybe more than a rhythm player. I want to learn this style of music, which is why I say to students, once they finish the G4 syllabus, you get to level 5. We're, you know, a high level, intermediate, kind of early advanced student at that point. So then you're going to want to specialize. Then you want to perhaps go and study blues or go and study rock or go and study metal or go and just work on your lead playing or something like that. That's when you want to specialize. So we're getting to more of that point with David. So this question is, well, the answer is going to be more around his level. But if you are low level, you can still kind of take this and kind of play around the, you know, some of these ideas as well. Rhythm is, you know, the chords of time and the strumming. That is kind of foundational anyway. You know, we want to have that as foundational skill stuff. Whereas improvisation, the lead side of things is kind of, I suppose, building on top of that. With learning a solo, yes, it does take quite a while if you learn it note by note. People get quite stuck on that. But you don't have to learn it note by note. You can learn just small sections. You could steal small phrases from it and then start playing around with that and adapting that and bring it into your own improvisation. It's a great way of doing it. It depends what you want to get from the solo in the first place. If you want a note by note cover of it, if you're learning Sweet China Mind Zone, you want it note by note perfect, then yes, obviously you're going to have to put a time in. If you just want to get a style of Slash, you want to get some of his ideas, there's nothing wrong with, right, he's playing this in the key of. He's playing these licks. He's got these ideas. Where is that on the neck? How can I then adapt that? You know, key of G, for instance. You know, how can I then play around with those ideas? How can I then build on top of that? That'd be the way of doing it. So you're taking the ideas to then bring into improvisation rather than learning the full solo. That'd be a great way of doing it. That would save time than thinking you have to learn the full thing. Again, depends what you want to get from it, really. And then I suppose the real value, you know, improvising, that's where you can develop your voice. But learning solos is where you develop your vocabulary. That's where you're going to learn other people's licks. That's where you're going to build on top of that. Again, you do need both, and rhythm's then going to hold that together. So a great way of thinking about this, you know, rhythm builds your foundation. Solo builds your vocabulary. Improvising builds your voice. That's the way to think about it. Don't try and do all three in one day. You know, rotate them like we were just talking about in the Nicholas's question. That's the best way to do it. But because we're this higher level, you may be leaning more into it now. So you could have more time, obviously, to develop this. And yeah, just rotate those three things. That'd be maybe your core practice. Only you can obviously answer that for how much you want to get into it. But yeah, hopefully that has helped, David. But yeah, mix it up. But I wouldn't say just focus on one. Try and rotate them. And yeah, hopefully that helps. So next question was from Rob Tyler. So how many songs is too many songs to be learning at the same time? I feel like I get a better, deeper understanding of guitar playing from learning songs. So I'm trying to increase the number of songs I know and learn. I feel like learning 3 to 5 songs at any given time, all in different stages, seems doable. Is there a point where learning too many becomes counterproductive? I assume it partially depends on how you practice or how much time you have to practice and how many days in the week. So yeah, he's kind of said what I'm going to kind of echo now, really. That is kind of it. So 3 to 5 songs is a good number, as long as they're at different stages, like he kind of points out then. I keep falling off my footrest. I did a great podcast, which I didn't mean to find before I did this call, but you'll find it obviously just searching on the website, bjpodcast.com, where I broke down learning songs into 3 stages: the practice stage, the playthrough stage, and the perform stage. So practice stage is where you break the song down, really breaking it down. You're working on chord change, you work to a metronome because you're probably quite far away from the full speed. It doesn't sound like the song because you're having to work on it in the small chunks. You might be working on the chorus, just really work on changing speed, maybe work on the strum pan in isolation, that kind of thing. Then your playthrough comes where you can play through the song now. The parts are kind of there. There's still some, you know, holes in the road, if you like. You're still struggling maybe on a couple of things, but it's coming together. And then the perform stage is where you can play through the backing track. You're performing it. It's that final level where you own in the song. You're not having to think about your chord changes, not having to think about structure. You can then think about the decoration, which is then maybe embellishing strum patterns. Maybe you are improvising a solo. You're going to that next level. You feel like you can do it, basically. You're memorizing the lyrics. You memorize, you know, it's kind of there. You can perform it. That is the 3 stages. So when you're learning 3 to 5 songs, it's spread them across those stages. One, because you want a challenge, and that's going to be your practice. When you want to be working, but that's the graph. That's going to be very much, you're going to be thinking about it. It's going to feel awkward. It's going to be time-consuming because you're really having to break it down and build up. You want one in that playthrough stage because you're starting to get it put together now. You've gone from that practice stage. You're putting that hard work. It's getting a bit more enjoyable. And then you want maybe 1 or 2 in the perform stage, because that's when it's super fun. That's when you can put in the embellishments on top. That's when you put the icing on the cake. That's when someone says, oh, you play guitar, play me a song, and you have them in your back pocket. Very fresh. You know you can play through it. It sounds great. So yeah, you want to spread it across those different ones. The problem a lot of people find is they spend too much in one of those categories. So you might have your 5 songs, but they're all in the challenging stage. They're all in that I'm going through it slowly. It feels like a grind. And you're grinding through these 5 tracks, and they just, oh, I feel so boring and so time consuming because they're just all in that stage. It takes so long to get through. So definitely try and spread them through. Another problem people find themselves in, they learn songs which are too hard. So you're learning, you know, level 1, you try and learn level 3 song, and you're just stumbling through it because you do not have the skills to perform it. This is why our method of learning, my method of teaching, is so powerful, because we teach in skills. When you identify skills, you can look at a song and think, oh, am I up to that level in that skill? Can I strum that speed? Can I play 16th notes? You're thinking of constant rhythm. Can I play those chords? Can I change to them at that speed, that tempo? No? Okay, so I need to work on my skills first before I can put them into the song. That's the way to think about it. If you're trying to learn skills whilst learning a song, it just takes forever. And you're just so demotivating. And that's why in the song section, Beginner Guitar Academy, the songs have been arranged into different levels. So you should be able to play them. Now, obviously, if you're doing a level one song and you're right at the beginning of level one, you've only been learning 2 weeks, and you pick a song which is kind of pitched more towards the end of level one, technically it's a level one song, but it's a level one song, song's been going like 6 months. Yeah, it's still going to be challenging. So we still need to be able to evaluate the skill requirement and obviously be quite sensible of the song we're choosing. But yeah, that's often why I see people struggle with the song's just too hard. It's sometimes nice to have the mixture. So maybe you have got a slightly more challenging song because it's a song you really like. It's your favorite song. Perhaps it has some kind of significance with you. It might be in your first dance, your wedding. It might be the song that you're going to play in guitar. But you know it's a tricky song. And you're going in that with your eyes open. Yep, it's a tough song. It's going to be tricky, but you know that's the case. But it's a song you want to learn. It's a cool song. Just be aware that obviously it's at a higher level. It's going to take that longer to get through it. As long as you're aware of that, then obviously that's going to push you through the challenging times because you know they're there for a reason. It's a hard song. But you're more likely to stick with it because it's a song that has significance to be learned. And it's one you're going to obviously grind to get. So that's the only thing I'd say. Again, you know, this is great, this week's questions, because they're all kind of going back to one another. Rotate your songs. So don't just stick on one song forever, like Nicholas with his Time Your Life. Rotate it, because again, it makes it fresh, and rotate those different sections. So if you're doing a, you know, a challenging song, you're very much in the practice stage, you know, next day, do a perform song, one that you can perform, because that's going to just build you back up again. That's going to be exciting. That's going to give you motivation. You'll feel like, oh yes, I can play some music. I can make a song. Rather than just if you spend the whole week going through practice songs, you won't feel like you can play guitar. You won't feel like, because it's you're doing the hard stuff, which obviously we want to do, but mix it in with the fun stuff as well and give yourself those little shots of motivation, a little kind of feeling that I can do this is great. And learning riffs is a great way of doing that because they are short, they're bite-sized. They're great to, you know, have some fun with, get off the ground quite quickly and feel like you're playing a tune. So hopefully that makes sense. So 3 to 6 songs, yep, as long as it feels manageable, as long as you feel you're improving, that's the sweet spot. That's where you want to be. If it starts to feel messy, yeah, that's when you need to start scaling it back. That's when you start looking at your three kind of pots. What songs have I got? Am I just staying in one? Are the songs too difficult overall? That's when you know that's probably going to be the problem, basically. So hopefully that answers Rob's question. That is all the pre-submitted questions. So if anyone has any questions, drop them in the chat and we'll go for that. It might be something that just, you know, popped up from one of these. It might be something you've been thinking about. Drop them in there. I'll go through those. If they're not, yeah, we've done about half an hour. That's quite good. We'll call it a night and I will sign off. But I'll give you a couple of seconds just to drop anything in there, guys. And yes, start thinking about, as I was saying at the start, Movie Mate. Start thinking of some songs you could practice and record and put in the academy. Again, don't scare yourself by thinking you've got to do anything too difficult. It could just be a riff. You might be going for level one. You might just think, oh, I'll just do Pretty Woman. This is not about how complex a song is or how long it is. You've got to do a 5-minute performance. This is purely about recording something and putting it out there and getting over that hurdle of not recording yourself. Recording is one of those really nerve-wracking things. It takes a while to go over that. I remember when I first went live on Facebook and I sat there for about 20 minutes before I pressed the live button because I was so scared about going live. And even recording first videos for like Beginner Guitar Academy and some of the first videos I did in before that. So I was recording videos just for my students at my offline guitar school. That's how Beginner Guitar Academy came about. You may have heard the story, you may not have, but it was a website for practicing at home for my offline guitar students. So go home from their lesson. I was recording videos, so obviously they'd know what to practice at home. That then just kind of got built out. And then obviously Beginner Guitar Academy was born. I opened up to you know, the world, basically, rather than just my students in Ashford. So that's how it came about. But in the early stage, when I was recording videos for that, the amount of takes I had to do and how robotic I sound, if you go and look at YouTube, you can then obviously search back to the first videos. Especially if you go to, there'll be some quite old ones and beginner Guitar Academy ones, but definitely the G4 channel. If you go back to there, there's some really old songs. I think there's even a Come As You Are that I did God knows how long ago. And I sound like a robot, you know, looking like a rabbit in headlights talking to the camera. Terrible lighting, you know, makes me cringe now. But you can see then hopefully the evolution. Hopefully I've got better now. Hopefully I'm a bit more natural on the camera now. But I've done, the last count, I think, was something like 1,200 videos on Vimeo. So they're just the ones that have been uploaded there. It's taken a while. It does. It does take a while. But it's all experience. It becomes natural after a while. Just stick with it. And Movie May is all about that, basically. So just getting over that initial hurdle. If you've never submitted a video, only for practice, progress checks, or you know, level assessments, they're nerve-wracking. I can see it in the students that even at the slightly higher levels, level two, still find it, you know, nerve-wracking, which it is. It is. It really is. But you've got to remember, I'm the only one that sees it. And I'm the only one that sees it. So worry about that. Give yourself a challenge. Do something for Movie May. Even if it's just like a simple little riff. Just start recording yourself more at home, and it won't take long until it starts to feel less awkward, less intimidating, and it just starts to feel a bit more natural. But yeah, it does feel that to start with, because I felt exactly the same. Well, no one's put any questions in the chat, so we will sign off then, guys, and I'll say goodnight. It is coming up to 9:30 here in the UK, PM. I've literally just finished teaching. I came straight home, jumped on here, and off we've gone. But yeah, we had some great questions tonight. And you can see, it was great, actually. They really all tied in. It was always ideas of rotating skills and songs and things like that. So yeah, some real nice stuff to talk about there. So hopefully that's been enjoyable. This will be put in the recording section of Beginner Guitar Academy. I was going to show you that, but let me quickly show you it. The recording section, if I go back to the dashboard, just in case you don't know it's there, it is down here on live recordings, and you'll see the Q&A recordings there. Got some of the, when we've done jams, sip and strums, some challenges, live lessons, it's all there. So definitely go and check it out if you haven't, but that's where it'll be. If I go back to dashboard, we also have the member only podcast. Click on that. And that is all the podcasts members, where I do the Academy show audio, Q&A's. So this one will go in that one. And there's some extra bits and pieces I've done, just questions that have come up that I've added in here. So there's extra bits and bobs. So yeah, definitely go and check that out if you haven't already. You should have access to that. When you joined Beginner Guitar Academy, you got an email that had the link. Everyone has their own individual link. If you didn't, let me know. You can just click on the support page, drop me an email, and I'll sign you up for that, and you'll then get an email with the special link. You need that special link. This is members only. And when you leave Beginner Guitar Academy, that link becomes invalid. You cannot access the podcast anymore. Let me know if you haven't got that. I can send it through to you. But yes, that's where this recording will be, probably in the next 48 hours or so. I'll probably do it tomorrow morning, because I don't think I've got much on tomorrow morning. So yeah, hopefully I'll get that done to then. Cool. Well, guys, thank you for coming along live. If you're catching up with the recording, thank you for listening. I'll be back next month for another Q&A. Obviously, I'm around whenever you need me, just to drop me a question through the box. Remember, you get unlimited support. Just head over to the support page and you'll see the chat bubble there, and you can send through an audio, video, text whenever you need me. You can tag me in the community. I'll ask questions to anyone in the Beginner Guitar Academy family. But yeah, I'll chat to you soon. Have a fantastic week, and I'll see you soon. Bye, guys.